For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Beginning again and again and again. Today we're going to be talking about beginning or beginning again. And Dan Harris, the former TV host, who's now a mindfulness teacher, says mindfulness is a skill generated most commonly through meditation, where you learn to see what's happening in your head right now clearly, so you don't get yanked around by it. And as we went around the room in the introductions, I heard a number of people talk about kind of being yanked around by life. There's a lot of stress, grief, a lot of hubbub going on in people's lives, a lot of things going on, and it's real easy for us to get yanked around by our minds. And we don't want to be yanked around by our thoughts. We want to be the ones in control of our thoughts. We want to see clearly and to respond to difficult situations rather than reacting unskillfully. And I can tell you that that has been a very big challenge for me, especially this morning on day 5 of babysitting 2 grandsons and getting woke up 5 times last night between the 2 of them. So I could have some very unskillful reactions with the 2 little ones. But my mindfulness has, and some very unskillful reactions with my husband. But my mindfulness practice has helped me to say, you're really tired. You're really grumpy. They're missing their parents. It's okay. You can deal with it for another 2 days. You'll live. So instead of the unskillful reaction that was my entrenched habit, which would have been snipping at Walt, probably, I was able to stop and say, you know what? I'm feeling really grumpy. Time to just shut my mouth and just let things be. But it requires discipline. The first thing I have to do is see that habit I have of snipping at Walt when I get grumpy. And if I don't see it, I can't change it. It's unconscious. And I get caught up and distracted in the details of my life, so it makes it even harder to see. Because I have so much going on, it's like, oh, how am I going to teach mindfulness when I haven't had any sleep and these 2 little boys are just into everything at 2 and 3 years old? It ends up being a lot. And so when I do snip at Walt, I have to remember that I can't expect to change that habit overnight. I've had a habit for years and years when I get tired and grumpy of kind of lashing out. Not very often, but when I get really tired and grumpy, I tend to lash out. And I've honed that habit. I've strengthened the neural pathway for that habit over the last 60 some years. I can't expect that even a decade of practicing mindfulness is going to make it go away. So I could get down on myself for running on autopilot and reacting unskillfully. But if I did that, then I'm strengthening the neural pathway of self-judgment. And that's another habit that I'd really like to kick. I want to create some new neural pathways. And I can do this by beginning again today. Beginning again with this breath. We often think, well, when the new year comes, I'll have a resolution. And how does that work for everybody? Not so well. We don't have to wait for the new year. We don't have to wait for a new month. We don't have to wait for a new week. I can say, I screwed up yesterday. I was very judgmental about the way Walt was taking care of the kids. I can begin again today and maybe be a little bit less judgmental. I reacted unskillfully this morning, but I can begin again right now. I have a bad habit I've talked to you about of interrupting people. I can be three words into interrupting someone, and I don't have to finish the sentence. I can just begin again. But the only way I allow myself to begin again is not to beat up on myself, but it's to stop, take a pause, say, this isn't what I want to be doing, and just begin again. So it can be mid-sentence, it could be mid-word. And we have the choice of beginning again if we choose to make it. If we choose to beat ourselves up, we're probably not going to begin again right in that moment. Because our habits are so strong, we need some discipline and we need persistence. There are a number of you in here who it's taken a year, maybe longer, to start a daily practice. Maybe less, but I heard quite a few people say, well, I'm not practicing as much as I'd like to, but I'm going to start again. We need that discipline. We need that persistence. We have to practice over and over. I've been meditating for more than a decade, and I still need to practice things over and over. Sometimes things come up in my meditation, and I think, I already dealt with that. Why is that popping up again? But it's there, and so I have to begin again and practice with it some more. Because that's what's going on in the moment, and I have to accept that's what's going on in the moment. Instead of saying, well, I'm never going to be whole, I'm never going to be good enough, I'm never going to be able to deal with this feeling that's inside of me that keeps popping up. Or I can just choose, I'm going to begin again. Obviously, I need to work with it some more. And that's where the persistence really pays off. And that's why I hold this Mindful Moments group, because being a part of a group helps you to be more persistent and disciplined in your practice. You get some motivation by hearing how it's helped other people, and you get a little bit of peer pressure by knowing you're going to have to check in. It might make you be a little more likely to do your meditation on the day you don't really feel like doing it. So, a lot of us have a habit of ruminating about the past. We can't change the past, no matter how many times we run that situation through our brain. It still comes out the same way. And each time we've run that memory through our brain about how awful we are, we're strengthening that neural pathway. It's easy for me to suggest that you make a habit of pausing and taking three breaths when you get irritated or angry. But it's near impossible for you to put in practice if you haven't been practicing mindfulness or meditation in your daily life. And that's why we might put together a practice in our daily life of taking three breaths whenever you're at a stoplight. Instead of saying, darn, another stoplight, we can be like Judy and change it to gratitude, saying, oh, I'm at a stoplight. I have the opportunity to take three breaths. Every time you leave your office, every time you walk into your house, maybe every time you go up the stairs or walk into the kitchen, get in the habit of just taking three breaths because you're creating the neural pathway of stopping and pausing. And you're also letting your mind recognize the reward you get from taking three breaths because it's calming for you. And that's why I almost always start my meditation with three long, slow, deep breaths, because it resets my autonomic nervous system. Pema Chodron says one of the most effective means for working with that moment when we see the gathering storm of our habitual tendencies is the practice of pausing or creating a gap. We can stop, take three conscious breaths, and the world has a chance to open up to us in that gap. We can allow the space into our state of mind. And I find that happens if I can stop and pause. I can look at the situation And I can, one of my habits is always being right. And I can choose to say, do I want to be right? Or do I want to put more emphasis on this relationship? And I'm looking at it from a different perspective. This person is important to me. I don't have to tell them they're wrong. Or this isn't the right time to tell them they're wrong. And so we can create gaps by doing mindful pauses throughout our day, but nothing helps you create gaps better than having a regular meditation practice. Doesn't have to be an hour long, doesn't even have to be 5 minutes. But regularly meditating helps to create those neural pathways in your brain. So it's better to have a practice of doing 2 minutes a day, or maybe 2 minutes twice a day if you can remember, than it is to do 15 minutes once a week. Tama Chodron says one of the most effective means for working with that moment when we see the gathering storm of our habitual tendencies is the practice of pausing or creating a gap. We can stop and take 3 conscious breaths, and the world has a chance to open up to us in that gap. We can allow space into our state of mind. Meditation is what helps train our brains to create gaps. Every time we become aware of our thoughts, let them go, we create a gap. We can't see clearly through all our mental chatter. Letting your mind quiet helps you to see more clearly. When we don't see clearly, we tend to fight against things as they are. We try to fight growing older. We become easily upset with life's changes, our losses, conflicts, and disappointments. We let them take hold of us as if some external thing has control over who we are and how we feel. We get on our hamster wheel of reactivity. When we do that, we make it worse. We're looking for false security in permanent pleasures. When we're on our hamster wheel trying to get away from the unpleasant, it gets stronger because we're resisting, maybe unconsciously. We do things that are not the right thing because we're not paying attention. When our mind is filled with mental chatter, negative emotions may feel scary. But when you see clearly, they lose some power and aren't so scary. We have emotions we've never dealt with. We've kept them hidden. When we see clearly, it's not so bad as we thought. I'm not such a terrible person. I'm just a perfectly imperfect human being, like everyone else. We see life as it really is, not how we're afraid it is or how we hope it is. And we learn to deal with reality rather than our image of reality. According to Jack Kornfield, when we look at our own mind, we can notice the mental states that predominate, as if we were noticing the weather. Just as a storm can bring rain, wind, and cold, we can observe the clusters of unhealthy states that appear on our bad days. We may find resentment, fear, anger, worry, doubt, envy, or agitation. We can notice how often they arise and how attached we are to their point of view. We can also notice the healthy states. In our most free and open-hearted periods, we can notice how love, generosity, flexibility, ease, simplicity are natural to us. By seeing clearly through mindfulness and compassion practice, we cultivate a new way of relating to life in which we let go of our struggles. When we step back from the struggle, we see anew. We see it as our mind creating the conflict, maybe even lying to us. We see our constant judging of ourselves, things, and people. We see our greed, and we see our prejudices. There are times where I wish I didn't practice mindfulness because it's hard for me to look at my insecurities, my imperfections, and my fears. But then I see how my habitual patterns close my heart. And when I see that, it gives me the strength to see clearly and let myself heal. Mindfulness is a state where we're aware, accepting, and as non-judgmental as possible about what is happening right now. It's about noticing your mind has wandered and bringing it back to what's right in front of you. It starts with being aware of the present moment. What are your thoughts? What are you feeling? What sensations are you feeling in your body? Being aware of what sensations I feel in my body is one of my bells of mindfulness. When I feel the heaviness or tightness, I know not to act or talk, because if I do, I will probably regret it. I'm not suggesting we brush anything negative under the carpet. If we do that, the problem's likely to continue to grow. I suggest that you train your mind so you can choose to pay attention to the moment with kindness and curiosity. You may not like that someone cut you off in traffic, but instead of getting angry and retaliating, you could get curious. When I see someone driving not very well, I say to myself, "New driver," because I remember teaching my kids to drive and seeing all the mistakes they were making. That way, it doesn't upset me when someone's driving unskillfully. And also remember, happy people don't cause others to suffer. When someone makes you suffer, you may wonder what's making them so unhappy. Often has absolutely nothing to do with you and everything to do with them. What would your life be like if you stopped wishing reality was different and got curious about what was really going on? When you don't like what's going on, you can run that movie over and over in your head, or you can accept that life is not fair and let it go. Mindfulness is about training our brain to respond wisely rather than acting blindly. James Baraz, a meditation teacher who focuses a lot on joy, says, "Mindfulness is simply being aware of what's happening right now without wishing it were different. Enjoying the pleasant without holding on when it changes, which it will. Being with the unpleasant without fearing it will always be this way, which it won't." To be mindful, we need to train our brains to develop the neural pathways that encourage us to be aware. Meditation is a method through which we train our brains to be mindful and concentrated. When we meditate, we want to find the middle ground where we neither suppress our thoughts nor are entirely lost in them. We're not trying to stop the thoughts. That's impossible. Our mind secretes thoughts like the salivary gland secretes saliva. The goal is to become aware of when we're thinking. The more you practice paying attention to the present moment in meditation or when you're calm and happy, the easier and more effective it'll be when you're freaking out. The purpose of meditation is not to be a good meditator, to learn to sit in the lotus position and sit very still, but to train our mind, our brain, to be more mindful. With over a decade of meditation experience, my mind still wanders to the past and the future during meditation. My mind often spins out stories about the past, the future, or fantasies. That's what minds do. They make up stories. When your mind wanders, begin again. Each time my mind spins out a story, I can become aware I'm thinking or realize that I've been lost in thought. And when I become aware that I'm thinking or lost in thought, I have a moment of mindfulness. Then I can decide whether I want to continue to observe that thought, be lost in thought, or direct my attention elsewhere. So no matter how spacey, forgetful, impulsive, or reactive I've been, I can always begin again. My wish for you, may you learn to be aware of your thoughts and feelings so that you can respond skillfully. May you not be yanked around by external circumstances.